All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, there in your Old Testament. We have the story recorded for us here in this chapter of what is typically referred to as the widow's oil multiplied. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 4, and you can follow along there as we read. Beginning in verse number 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her two sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Great story, right? The book of 2 Kings records for us the story of Elisha, and we've already seen the story in previous chapters of the prophet Elijah, and now we find Elisha doing the same great miracles and even above what Elijah did as he was a prophet here on the earth. Elisha, we find him now amidst kind of a troubling scene. We have a widow woman, a mother, who has some responsibilities in her home. Now, this is not a Mother's Day message, but the mother really is the focus of this story, because she is the one who seeks out Elisha, and she's the one who obeys and does what he says and finds a great ending to the story. But you know, I think we need to think a little bit about mothers sometimes, even when it's not Mother's Day. Father's Day is coming up next week end, and so fathers, I hope that you're ready for that, or those who are taking care of you are ready for that. But anyway, we celebrated Mother's Day a while back, but mothers do have some great responsibilities, don't they? Mothers, you probably say amen to that. House cleaning typically falls to the mother. Laundry, right? Some of you may even still iron, right? Those days are gone for most people. But my wife, this morning, I got up, she had my shirt ironed, and so some of you still iron. Cooking. Now, when dads cook, you know, I tell my boys, time for supper, they go out and get in the car, right? That's right. So, but mothers actually do cooking sometimes in the house, I'm sure. Housework, homework, and all kinds of work, right? Mothers are usually the nurse at the house, the counselor, the fashion coordinator, the taxi driver, right? All these things mothers seem to... We're wondering right now what the dads do, aren't we? Well, yesterday I went out and I said, I'll take care of the yard. Well, now that's a kind of a cop-out for the men, because we somewhat enjoy that. But I said, I'll take care of the yard and wash the vehicles and stuff like that. So I got Benjamin went out with me, and he's trying to earn money to buy that shotgun we've been talking about for a year. But anyway, so we went out, and my wife cleaned the whole house, you know, the dusting, the bathrooms, the mopping, and all that. I stayed out long enough for her to get all that done. But she did all of that, and her house is clean now, and she also fixed lunch for us, and she takes care of all of the incidentals around the house. But you know, mothers do play an important role. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Mothers are equipped for that. God has equipped mothers to carry great burdens. I think men would collapse under most of those. I was talking with someone this morning, and men, we compartmentalize everything, right? We like little boxes, and we do this task in this box, and we don't move to the next box until this one's completed, or at least to our satisfaction. And then we move to this box. And sometimes we like it if our box is empty, right? Just nothing in the box. We just want to go to the box and just enjoy nothing, right? I think that's what was the beginning of the man cave, you know, where the men go off into a cave somewhere, into that room or garage or whatever. We just don't want to have anything in the box. We just want to have a box that's empty and nothing. And then ladies, on the other hand, you're not like that at all. You're multitaskers. Your minds run in several directions. You could be talking about nail polish in one sentence and be talking about splitting an atom in the next one, you know, and everything in between. It's just, it's multitasking. And men, we don't deal well with that, right? Because we don't understand. We have our box. Our wives have what appears to be a plate of spaghetti, right? You ever try to follow a spaghetti noodle through a plate? They're just all tangled up together, aren't they? And that's the way a lady's mind works. They're just in every direction. And sometimes the conversation even switches, and men, we don't even know the conversation switched, and we're still on the same subject that we were talking about a while back. But eventually, if you'll wait around, she'll come back to that subject, because it's all together there on that plate. And it's very organized to the ladies. Men, we don't understand that. It's a box. It's a clean-cut box for us. But this mother in 2 Kings chapter 4 was doing those things. She was a multitasker. She was taking care of things. She took care of her husband. She took care of the home. A mother was once asked, which of your 13 children, aren't you glad those days are behind us? Which of your 13 children do you love the most? Now, mothers, if we ask you that question this morning, which of your children do you love the most? What would you say? Well, this mother said, the one who is sick until he gets well, and the one who is away until he gets home. That was her answer. So you see, this mother in 2 Kings chapter 4 was just like that. She was concerned about her family. She was concerned about her children and all the activities. And the responsibilities had increased because now she's a widow. Her husband has died. So everything increases when that happens. Not only does she have to take care of the home, now she has to take care of the business of the home and all the things that the husband took care of. And we find a text here that's very real to us, I think, to a mother who finds herself in trouble. And it could be a dad today, it could be a child today, but we all find ourselves in situations that sometimes present difficulties in our lives. Would you agree with that? We find ourselves, one minute things seem to be running okay, the next minute things seem like they've fallen completely apart. You been there? Sure we have. You may have been there this morning. It may have been today, but it's certainly been in the recent past, because that's the way life seems to work. And so we find this widow woman now who has the responsibility of the bills of the house and the responsibility of her two sons and the responsibility of raising them and taking care of all these things. And she reaches out in verse 1 to the prophet Elisha. Now, we know a little bit about this woman because she was the wife of, what the Bible says, one of the sons of the prophets. So her husband was a preacher. Her husband was a prophet. Worked directly with Elisha, it appears. Obviously, he was a man of faith. He served under Elisha, served, and if you were with a prophet in that day, it would be difficult not to see the hand of God working over and over and over. The Bible says that this man feared God, didn't have much money, was hardworking, but it seems to reflect that he died young. So this dear woman's life had been changed. Things were going along okay, and now all of a sudden things have fallen apart. There's two things that hit her home, death and debts. Two things that hit. Two great burdens of life. The Bible tells us that the creditors came to foreclose on the boys, basically. They owed debts, and so to repay that, they would take your children and work out the debt. So the creditors come. She looks at this situation, and she needs some kind of solution quickly. She's already maxed out on the stress meter. She's in trouble. So the widow goes quickly to seek wisdom and help of God, and she goes to God's man to do that. And you know, really, the person who does that will be blessed of God. The person who says, God, I need your help. I find myself in time of need. I have a great need in my life, and God, I need you to help me. We'll find the blessings of God through that. Amen? God will provide. God will bless. The Bible tells us in verse 2, in verse 3, and verse 4, she goes to Elisha, and Elisha says, what do you want me to do? What shall I tell thee? What's the answer that you want? And she says, well, I have this situation. She kind of explains it to him, and Elisha says, what do you have in your house? What do you have readily available to you? That's a good question. I want each of us this morning to look at our own lives and say, what has God given to us? What do we have in our lives that God could use for His glory? What do you have? Do you have children? Then God could use them for His glory. Many of you probably dedicated your children when they were babies or infants. You dedicated them to the cause of Christ. You more dedicated yourself than you did your children because it takes the parent to nurture and guide these children. But we want our children to do something for God. They're not all going to be preachers, not all going to be missionaries, but certainly we want our children to honor God in what they do. So God has given us a great gift in our children. I know they don't appear that way to you most of the time, but they are gifts, right? Wonderful gifts. And God has given them to us. And if you still have children at home, then you have the responsibility to look at the situations that you find yourself in and say, God, you have given me these children, and you have given me a great gift and a great privilege. And use that for the cause of Christ. Teach them the things of God. What else do you have around your house? Do you have a spouse that loves you? You see, this lady had lost her husband. She was now just her and the boys. Do you have a husband or a wife this morning that loves you? Do you have enough food at your house to sustain life? Most of us probably do. You'll go home today and most of you will probably have anything you want for lunch. God has given us great things, hasn't He? Do you have enough money to go out and buy some groceries? You see, this mother had nothing. This mother had no way to sustain life. She had no way to pay her debts. She had no way to continue on. And you may have been there, and you may be there today. But this widow woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 is a great example for us this morning that God can take what we have and do a great work. You see, when Elisha asked this dear lady, what hast thou in the house? Here's what she said. Thy handmaid has not anything. Was that true? Well, humanly speaking, yes. Humanly speaking, we could look around and say, my cupboards are empty and I don't have anything. I don't have gas money. I don't even have a car. I don't even have a place to sustain life. I don't have anything. But spiritually speaking, we do have great things. You see, this mother had found herself and she had come to the conclusion, and this is really a terrible circumstance, isn't it? It's miserable. She had nothing in her mind. And sometimes we even turn that around and say, well, poor, unfortunate me, right? I don't have anything. I don't have any way for God to bless me. I don't have anything. And the truth is, we do have quite a bit. We have a living God who sustains and keeps us. You know, the startling discovery for this widow woman is it's almost as if she has a second thought and she says, well, wait a minute, I do have a little pot of oil. Originally she said, I don't have anything. But then she said, well, wait a minute, I do have a little pot of oil. Now, she went from a miserable attitude to just a glimpse of something positive. Well, wait a minute, I do have this little thing over here. That was a turning point in this woman's life. She had gone from, I don't have anything, to, well, wait a minute, I do have this. But how could that be of any help, I'm sure, was her next thought. How long has it been, folks, since we have genuinely sat down and counted our blessings. How long has it been? We may have counted up a few. We may have said thank God for a few things. But how long has it been as a Christian? How many of you have been saved in here over 10 years? Would you raise your hand? You've been a Christian over 10 years. How long has it been since you just sat down and genuinely, maybe even got out a piece of paper and a pen, and started counting your blessings? It's probably been a long time. We'll thank God for the little things that come along the way, but I'm talking about an extensive list. See, we begin to think we don't have any blessings anymore. We begin to think that God has not done anything for us in a long time, and we begin to focus on the miserable side, don't we? All the things that we don't have, or all the things that we wish we had, or all the things that we wish would change in our lives. And the truth is, if we would take the time to sit down and write out our blessings, it would be a long list. You know what? I think it would even be difficult for us to overcome the mental block that we have on these blessings to even allow that to flow in our minds. Because we're so focused on what we don't have or what God hasn't done or how bad it's going to be. How many times in this past week have you heard somebody talk about how bad the economy is? I mean, even when it's good, people weren't saying, man, this is a great economy. No, it's always negative, isn't it? I mean, and I've told you this before, but we look at everything that way. We don't call a traffic light a traffic light. We call it a stoplight. Well, that's the negative side of the traffic light, isn't it? It's also a go light. Right? It has a green light on there too. But we will typically pick out the most negative part of whatever it is we're looking at. Isn't that true? And this widow looks at her life and she says, I don't have anything. My husband's dead. I have all these responsibilities. Now I'm trying to raise these boys. I don't have anything. And the prophet reminds her, oh, yes, you do. And as we sit down, I hope you'll do this. Start counting your blessings. All of the things that God has accomplished. I mean, folks, just think about it for a moment. Where would we be this morning without Christ? Where would we be? We certainly wouldn't be here, probably. We may be in jail. We might be out on a boat with Gene. I don't know where we would be. But chances are we wouldn't be here. Right? And somewhere along the line, God sent someone to share the gospel message with you. And you accepted it. And God changed your life. The blessings are just lengthy in our lives. We say, well, these gas prices are horrible. At least you have gas, right? We have some missionaries right now in England that are paying $10 a gallon for gas. But they do a little thing over there that's kind of interesting. They sell it by liters. So you don't realize, anyway, you understand. But if you figure it up, gas is about $10 a gallon right now. You say, boy, I tell you what, it's hot. Okay, well, go up to Detroit in a few months and you'll wish it was hot, right? We just always look at the negative side. And the truth is God has blessed us abundantly. We mentioned our children. Children are, now however you want to look at it, the truth is they're a blessing. And they keep you honest, don't they? They keep you running. They keep you active. Because children just, their minds run, and they're brutally honest. Children are just brutally honest. You don't dare ask a child, how does this look on me? Because they'll tell you. You know? You don't dare ask a child something you don't want to know the honest truth about. And children are a blessing. So when we sit down and begin to count our blessings, when we rediscover the fact that God has given us a place to live, and God has given us a family, and God has given us furniture, and God has given us love in our hearts, when you start rediscovering those things in your life that God has accomplished, you'll have a long list of blessings. This widow woman had a turning point when she said, wait a minute, there's a pot of oil over here. The truth is, the answer to lifting your burden today, the burden that you're carrying maybe of discouragement or disappointment, the answer to that might be right at your house. It may be who you have around you and what you have. You may be able to reflect a little bit on God's blessings. This mother found that the responsibilities, or the possibilities, I should say, are unlimited when you allow God to work. Verse 4 down through verse 7. This mother finds herself in a situation where she has nothing, but she turns to God. Now, I want you to think back over your life, and this has probably happened to you. You've turned to God, and all of a sudden, things change dramatically. Now, I'm going to say something this morning. I believe this is true. The possibilities in your life are unlimited when you allow God to use what you have. Do you get that? Not what somebody else has, not what talents they possess. Each of us have been given talents by God, right? Each of us have been given great gifts by God. And if we will allow God to use what we have in our lives, the possibilities are unlimited. This woman believed that the prophet was telling her the truth. He said, go out and borrow all these empty vessels and bring them back and start filling them up. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? But she believed him. That took faith. If you have any faith this morning, God has given that to you. And that faith is unlimited if you allow God to use it. Not only did this widow woman say, okay, we're going to do it, she involved her sons in this as well. She said, hey, boys, go out and gather up all the vessels you can. She sent them out to borrow these vessels. Now, something else about this. The prophet says, don't borrow just a few of them. You think big. So they went out and they began to gather up all these vessels. And I think it's very clear in this story that they were expecting an answer to their problems. You know, how many times are we faced with what we have in our lives and we think small, don't we? We say, well, God, if you could just do this, it'll get me through the next day. Well, what about the blessings that God... You realize how big God is, right? We realize how powerful, we realize how unlimited His resources are. We realize how powerful and how sovereign He is, and we'll bring Him our requests, and He says, you need to think a little bigger. Don't go out and borrow just a few vessels. Go out and borrow the biggest bunch you can. Bring them all in. Bring them all. They were about to see a miracle. And this thrilling moment that takes place is the prophet says, I want you to go in and close the door, and I want you to start filling up these vessels out of that little pot that you have. You see, what you already have, God can use. That little talent that you think doesn't mean anything to anyone, God could use it in a great way. God could bless people beyond measure. God could lead people to His Son, Jesus Christ. If we would just allow Him to take what we consider to be a little talent, a little pot of oil, could change multiple people's lives. So the prophet says, I want you to go in, close the door, just you and your sons, and I want you to start taking that little pot of oil and start pouring it into these large vessels. Now, can you imagine that scene as they're doing that, and the oil just keeps coming? You know, they're looking down in there, where is this coming from? Have you ever seen God do something like that in your life? Maybe not with a little pot of oil, but you stood in amazement as you said, God, I don't know how you're doing this. It's almost like you're looking into the pot saying, where is this coming from? But you are doing it in a great and mighty way. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about situations in our lives where we say, I don't know how we're going to solve this. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how this is going to work out. And the oil just keeps coming. God took what she had and multiplied it time after time after time after time. You know, God is famous for that. Think with me back to some other stories. Do you remember a little boy that came to hear Jesus preach one time? And he had just 3 little loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And the disciples were gathered around, and there were several thousand people there. And the disciples said, Jesus, these people are hungry and they need to be fed. And he said, all right, well, feed them. And they said, we don't have anything. negative, right? We don't have anything. Oh, yes, you do. But they had a little moment as well, just like the widow. And they said, well, wait a minute, there's a little boy over here that has some 3 loaves and 2 fishes. That was about enough to feed a kid, you know. And Jesus said, well, we'll bring that over here and we'll get it from the little guy and let me break it and bless it, and then you pass it out to these thousands of people. We typically call that the feeding of the 5,000, don't we? Can you imagine? Can you imagine cooking for 5,000 people? So they gather it up, Jesus breaks it, blesses it, and as they're passing it out, it just keeps multiplying. As a matter of fact, there was so much left over that it was enough to fill 12 baskets. We don't know how big the baskets were, but there was surplus. God can take those things in our lives that seem so insignificant, and He can bless people with it. We have another story of a man named Moses. Moses was commanded to go into Pharaoh and ask or tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go from bondage. And if you remember the exchange, Moses said, God, I don't have any way of doing that. I stammer and stutter when I talk, which is interesting because he gave him Aaron, and Aaron never made one speech. You notice that? Moses just needed a safety blanket. He's like Linus, you know, with that blanket. Was it Linus? Anyway, he just needed a little encouragement, and God gave it to him. But anyway, he said, I don't have any way to go in. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to? And God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What did he have in his hand? Do you remember? A staff. What is a staff? Just a stick. God said, you have a stick in your hand that I'm going to do some great things with. Now, how many times has God burdened our heart for something and we think, is he out of his mind? I don't have anything to offer anybody. I don't have any way to be a blessing to anyone. And God said, Moses, I want you to take that stick with you into the palace, into Pharaoh's throne room, and I want you to use that to bring honor to me and to free my people. All right, so you remember the story. He goes in with this stick, staff, rod, whatever you want to call it, and the magicians come out. Pharaoh says, I'm going to show you something here. Because Moses had thrown the stick down and it became a serpent. Now, that's a good way to clear a room, but it didn't clear that room because Pharaoh said, that's no big deal. So he brought his magicians out. They threw their staffs down and they became snakes. But what was interesting is Moses' snake consumed the other two. Now, the hardest part of that story for me would have been picking up the snake. The Bible says as soon as he reached down and picked up the snake, it became a rod, staff again. That would have been the hard part for me. But nevertheless, Moses did it. Can you imagine God using a stick to bring honor to himself? Can you imagine God using 3 loaves and 2 fishes? Another story is King David. Before he was king, he was a little lad running around with really nothing to offer the world except a sling. He had a slingshot and a few stones, and he went up against a giant named Goliath, and he took that little sling and that little stone, and he killed Goliath. We don't need to go any further because we know that God can use what we have. Amen? Whatever God has given you, He can use it. Whatever you have is enough. Whatever ability, talent, resources that you have, God is big enough, powerful enough, sovereign enough to take what you have and use it for His glory. The widow woman said, I don't have anything except this pot of oil. And the prophet said, you start pouring that out and you're going to see a great thing. So they fill up all of the basket, all of the barrels, all of the containers. And the widow woman is pouring and she says, all right, fellas, bring me another container. And they said, that's all we have. We brought everything we have. And she said, okay. And guess what? The Bible says the oil stopped. See, it's all about God. Elisha said, now you take that oil and you go sell it. You pay the debt and then you live on the rest of it. It must have been a pretty good amount. Those are exciting stories because we understand that God, it's the same God today in 2011 that was there that did the miracle with Elijah and this poor widow woman, and we serve the same God today. God will do great things with what we have. Listen to this quote. God has boundless resources. The only limit is on us. Our asking, our thinking, and our prayers are many times too small. Our expectations are too limited. What could God do with your life? You say, well, I'm to the age where I don't know that I could do anything for God. That's not true. What could God do with what you have? Maybe you're up in years, as they say, you're seasoned, and you have great wisdom that God could use to help someone else who may be going through a difficult time. Maybe you're young and strong and you have the ability to go out and do great things for Christ, and He could use that. You say, I don't have any talents, I don't have any abilities. Oh, yes, you do. God has given you a great gift. Don't limit your expectations on God. Don't say, God, if you could just do this small thing for me. Oh, no, He can do large and great and miraculous things for us if we will but trust Him. So this coming week, as the trials and things come to your life and you say, you know, I don't have any abilities, I don't have anything I can do for God. Remember that little boy's lunch? Remember Moses' rod or stick? Remember David's sling. Remember the widow woman's little pot of oil. And remember this question. Elisha said, what hast thou in the house? What do you have right there in front of you? God can take that and perform a miracle. God can take that, what seems to be so insignificant, and change society. I was thinking about the apostles as they wrote their books of the Bible and as they continued about their ministries and eventually were martyred for the cause of Christ, were killed. And each of them started out with something that seemed insignificant for ministry, insignificant for God. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark that when Jesus came by, there were Peter and James and several of the men there fishing. And the Bible says they put down their nets and they followed after Christ. Fishermen, which in the day was really not an educated, high-profile position. But they changed the world. Because God took what seemed to be so insignificant and used it for His glory. I trust and I hope and I pray that each of us will say, God, You do what You will with me. I don't have much. And you may not think you have much. But you may have just that little pot of oil or that little sling or that little stick or that little lunch. And you say, God, use what I have. Let me be a blessing to those around me. Let me be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And folks, He'll take what seems to be so small and make it large. And you'll look back on that moment and you'll say, I didn't realize that God could use somebody like me in such a way. But He can, and He will, if we'll allow Him to do it. Let's pray together.